Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Ki Yisholcha Bincha. When your child, your son, is going to ask you, the Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on Yud Aleph Nisan, the 11th day of the month of Nisan, the Rebbe's birthday, in the year Tavshin Lamed Ches, 46 years ago. The Rebbe went on to certify and edit this Chassidic discourse in honor of the Rebbe's birthday, the 11th of Nisan, in the year Tavshin Nun, 34 years ago. And this kuntres, this Chassidic discourse, Rebbe actually distributed with his own hands to the Chabad Chassidim. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse in Deuteronomy where it says, Ki yisholcha bincha mochor lemer, when your son is going to ask you tomorrow, what is the edus, the testimony, the chukim, the statutes of mishpatim and the laws? Asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu, that God commanded us. Eschem you. So Rebbe says, this question, Torah says, that is actually the question of the wise son. Like it says in the Haggadah, Chacham Mahu, what does the wise one say? Mo edus, what are the testimonies? And it's known, the Rebbe says, the questions that are pointed out in the different Chassidic discourse of the Chabad Rebbeim, that since this child is called the Chacham, the wise one, and other than what is wise mean, we don't mean just he's a smart boy. We're talking about wise in Torah. So obviously he knows what the mitzvahs are. So that's the craze. We're dealing with a wise son in Torah. What's his question? What is the edus? What is the chukim? What the mishpatim? What are all these type of commandments? If you're wise in Torah, you know what they are. Also, the Rebbe said, you can add that from the continuation of the verse, what does it say? You're going to respond to your son. And what are you going to tell him? That Hashem, God commanded us to do all these statutes. And by doing that, it's going to be good for us. In other words, we explain the value of doing a mitzvah. It's going to be good for us. In other words, so when we say, what is the edus, what is the testimony, we're referring to what are these mitzvahs? And what quality does it have? So if the question then is, a wise person doesn't ask, what's the value of the mitzvahs? That's the next question. Further, the Rebbe says, we don't understand. When you explain, what's the reason of the mitzvahs, like when you're answering the child, so he says two ideas, there's two things that we're telling your child. Number one is that we were in Egypt. God took us out of Egypt, and then he commanded us to do all these statutes. In other words, so since we were in Egypt and God took us out, therefore we're obligated to fulfill the God commandments God asked us to do. He's the one that saved us. That's one point. That the reason of the mitzvahs is to be grateful for Hashem taking us out of Egypt, and therefore we do all the mitzvahs. And the second idea in mitzvahs is that by doing the mitzvah, that's going to be good for us all the days of our life. Now, this, that the response to the child explains two different components. So obviously these two components, one is the fact that God took us out of Egypt, and because of that, when he asked us to do the mitzvahs, we're doing the mitzvahs he asked us to do, and B, that's going to be good for us. Obviously, it's a novel idea for the son, but the question is, one second, since he doesn't know what mitzvahs are, in other words, not only does he know that it's good for us, but he doesn't even realize that we're supposed to do it, so why are you calling him a wise son? Also, we have to understand, like brought down the Chassidic discourses, where he says that God commanded Eschem, God commanded you, and not us, and not himself. He's not part of it. Even though he says that Hashem Elokeinu, God commanded us, see, it's obviously he's including us. So if that's the case, why do you say you? If it's us, then you should say us, Aisanu. He should have said that God commanded Aisanu us. Or God commanded without saying Eschem. What's the purpose of excluding himself with the second part in the Eschem? Rebbe says the point of the explanation that's brought down to Chassidic discourses, it's based on what it's known that when the patriarchs observed the mitzvahs, so generally speaking, it was a spiritual observance of the mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs they observed was on a spiritual level. And the impact that they did in the physical world was only a vessel for the spiritual connection. So by the Avos, the mitzvahs were to create a spiritual connection with Hashem. On the other hand, the mitzvahs that were given to us in Matan Torah, at Mount Sinai, over there, what changed was, it's about doing the physical mitzvahs. And the doing the mitzvah is not a preparation for the intent. On the contrary, the action is the most important part. So in other words, before we go further, what we're saying is a major difference between the mitzvahs before Matan Torah, before we received Torah, and afterwards. Before Matan Torah, by the Avos, it was all about the spiritual connection. Matan Torah shifted. It's all about doing the physical mitzvah. And just like, in our case, the mitzvah of eating matzah. If someone's going to sit down by the Seder and is going to meditate all the powerful intentions of the matzah, and God forbid, he's not going to eat the matzah. He's not going to draw down any energy. On the other hand, when he eats the matzah, and even if he had no intention, no meditation, he brought down the energy of matzah into this world. So therefore, the question that the son is asking, how do you bring down the revelation of the infinite part of God by a physical action? By the Avos, it made sense. They meditated and they connected to God and they brought in godly energy. But after Matan Torah, just by doing a physical, eating matzah, you're bringing down the same energy? And that's why he says, what is the Eidos? What is the testimony that God commanded you, referring to our spiritual work after we receive the Torah, which means the physical work, not the spiritual one like the patriarchs? And his question is, how are we drawing in the revelation of the infinite part of God by doing something physical? And what's the response? You should tell the child that we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and God took us out, and he commanded us to do these statutes. In other words, going into exile into Egypt and coming out of Egypt, that's a preparation of receiving the Torah. And Matan Torah, there was something that was given, a gift from Hashem, that we have the power by doing a physical mitzvah, lasos, to do the chukim, the statutes, and it says specifically lasos to do, that through that we have the power to bring down all the energies that the patriarchs did through their spiritual service, and up to the point that not only we bring down the powerful energies, we can literally bring down the essence of Hashem. So this is what's explained in the Chassidic discourses. You know, it's the spiritual idea of the mitzvahs, and that explains what the child is asking. Like, how are we going to accomplish it through the physical mitzvahs? And the response is, yes, we went into Egypt, we went out, Hashem gave us the Torah, and because Hashem gave us the Torah, Mount Sinai, now it's shifted through the physical mitzvah, we can accomplish it. That's the general answer. The Rebbe says, 1 second, we have to understand. This explanation about the question that the wise son has, what's the question? What are we responding to? Responding to his difficulty is, how are we going to accomplish bringing down godliness, revealing godliness after Matan Torah by doing a physical mitzvah? So in other words, so that only explains that after we say that God commanded us, so he's saying, and that's why he says, Eschem, you, referring to the people after Matan Torah, to bring out that his question is not on the mitzvahs of the patriarchs, but he's asking specifically about the mitzvahs of after Matan Torah. So that answers that question. But seemingly this will be understood, even if he said that Hashem commanded us, why does he have to exclude himself? If we're saying it's different before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah, fine, I get it. But why is he saying Eschem, you, versus me? We're all part of the same package. Also, we have to understand, when he says, what is the Eidos, the testimony, the chuk and the statutes, and the mishpatim and the laws. But what does that mean? Since he's asking in general about all the mitzvahs, how do we draw down the light by doing a physical mitzvah? Why is it important to spell out the different type of mitzvahs? Eidos, chuk and mishpatim, and especially that the difference that's created in the mitzvah of eidos, chuk and mishpatim, that's all, where's the difference? It's in the intention. It's in the meditation. Why? Because when it comes to the mitzvah of a choik, which is a statue, so why are you doing it? It's not logical, but you're doing it because Hashem said to do so. That's one intention. The mitzvah, which is a testimony or a law, you have to do it because there's logic to it. We're celebrating Pesach because God took us out of Egypt, or other laws that are disciplinary laws. So if that's the case, and so the question then is, what is the Eidos? What does that have to do with the physical mitzvahs? If his only question is about how do we draw down the physical mitzvah, why is he giving us the division of Eidos Chukim Shvatim, which has to do more with the meditation, with the intention part? Also, we have to understand that the question that the son is asking is about all three types of mitzvahs. Eidos Chukim Shvatim, like he spells out. And the response, what does it say? God commanded us to do the chukim, the statutes. He only mentioned the statutes. If he's asking about all three, why are you only answering about one? Also, we have to understand that the difference between the three types of mitzvahs, eidos, which is a testimony, chukim, which is a statute, and mishpatim, which is a law, what is the difference? A mishpat, a law, is a commandment that we have to do, that logic even tells us to do so. For example, not to steal. Logic says, don't steal. This is mine, this is yours. Or respecting parents. Your parents brought you into the world, you have to respect them. Eidos, on the other hand, a testimony, which is basically to commemorate certain things. So, for example, we God created the world in 6 days, rested on seven. So therefore, we rest on the seven. That's why we have Shabbos. God took us out of Egypt. That's why we have the Passover. God gave us huts in the desert. So that's why we have the Sukkot. Tefillin is to remind us God took us out of Egypt. That goes into the category of Eidos. So these mitzvahs of Mishpatim, which are logical, and Eidos, which commemorate something, even though that logic would dictate, even if the Torah wasn't given, so logic would dictate you should go ahead and do it. But on the other hand, if the Torah wasn't given, we would learn the laws of Mishpatim from animals. But once the Torah gave us the commandments of the Mishpatim, and even though it does make sense, but nevertheless, when it comes to the Chukim, that if Torah didn't give us these statutes, we wouldn't do them. And why are we doing them? Because Hashem instructed us to do so. So based on this, it should have said Mishpatim, which are logical first, Eidos, which are testimonies, and then statutes. In Kabbalistic terms, it's called Milmata Lamayla. You go from one level to the next. Or go from the highest, Chukim, which are irrational, Eidos, testimonies, and then Mishpatim. But the fact is, in the way it's written in the verse, it's a funny order. It starts with an Eidos, which have reason. You're celebrating something. Chukim, which is a statute, no logic. And then you're going back to totally Mishpatim logic. It should either have been Mishpatim, Eidos, and Chukim, or Chukim, Eidos, and Mishpatim. Why is he using this specific order of Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim? Okay, so we had a lot of questions, and now we're going to get into it. Rebbe says we're going to understand this based with an introduction, what the previous Rebbe explains in a Chassidic discourse with this title of Ki Yisholcha Bincha, that he said on the first Pesach, when he came to America to live, and specifically pointing out, when this wise person asks, what's his question? He's asking Eschem, you. And there's the fact that he says you, and he doesn't say us. Seemingly, that's a wise person. He's almost like a wicked person. He's saying it's your mitzvahs, and he's not including himself in it. And he adds in the Chassidic discourse, even though it says Hashem Elokeinu, he is calling God as God. He is part of the Jewish people. And Hashem Elokeinu, it's my God. It means he's accepting the yoke of Hashem upon himself. So that is all in regard to the general acceptance of Hashem. But when it comes to the details of Eidos, Chukim Mishpatim, he says you. He's excluding himself from it. And seemingly, from the expression of the Chassidic discourse, so what comes out? The issue is that he says Eschem you. In other words, not only do we need to know why he says Eschem, but also why he says Eschem and not Eisanu. He doesn't include himself into it. In other words, because you can, God forbid, think when he says Hashem Elokeinu and he is included, it's only about the general idea of accepting the yoke of Hashem. But in reference to the details of Eidos, Chukim Mishpatim, he's excluding himself. Okay, so the Rebbe explains and he says as follows. That when it comes to doing a mitzvah, there's two components to doing a mitzvah. On one hand, every mitzvah, Hashem commanded us a mitzvah, it's a command from Hashem. And that, from that perspective, all the mitzvahs are alike. Every mitzvah, Hashem commanded us to do so. That's one part of a mitzvah. On the other hand, that the mitzvahs are different. They go into three different categories. You have the edos, the testimonies. You have the chukim, which are the statutes, irrational laws. And you have the mishpatim, the rational laws. And these two components of, again, the fact that it's a mitzvah of Hashem and the fact that there's differences, they apply not only in they apply also in, when you observe the mitzvah. In other words, when you observe the mitzvah, there's two type of intentions. In Hebrew, it's called kavanot. Two types of intentions. In other words, what does that mean? You have the general intention: I am going to do a mitzvah. I'm coming to do the mitzvah of Hashem, and that by all the mitzvahs is equal. Anytime you do any mitzvah of the 613 commandments, 248 positive, the 365 negative, you are right now. What are you doing? You're doing the mitzvah of Hashem. That's in general. More specific. Then you have the fulfillment of the mitzvah of, for example, Eidos, a testimony, which is a sign or commemorating something. So that's one type of mitzvah. Or because it's a chayk, it's a statue, it's a decree. Or because it's something which makes sense. So therefore, the wise son is asking, Maha Eidos v'achukim mishpatim. What does that mean? Since in all the mitzvahs, what's the common denominator? Hashem commanded us to do the mitzvahs. So why do we have to get involved in differences? This is a testimony. This is a statue. This does make sense. Ultimately, it's Hashem's mitzvah. Hashem is asking us to do so. So therefore, he points out in the Chassidic discourse, even after he says, Hashem Elokeinu, God our God, gave us the commandments. So you might think that when it comes to the specifics, and the differences in the mitzvah of Eidos Chukim Shvatim, so to speak, he's trying to pull himself out of the differences. So therefore, you know, he's trying to say, listen, I'm willing to do any mitzvah of Hashem. Details, not me. I just want to do the mitzvah of Hashem. So you might think he's like excluding himself from the details and the nuances in the mitzvah. So in order to take this away, he should have said, Isanu, he should have included himself to make it clear, no, there's two parts of every mitzvah. There's the general part of a mitzvah, there's the details, there's specifics, and I'm part of both of them. But the fact that he says Eschem, is if he's trying to create a message. When it comes to doing the mitzvah, and I'll do all the mitzvahs, I'm doing it because Hashem told me to do it. Eidos Chukim Mishpatim, that's Eschem, that's for you. I have no part of that, of all these differences. So that's basically the question. Why does he say Eschem and not Esanu? So whoever says, well, understand this, like based on what's explained in the Hasidic discourse, that the three ideas of Eidos, and he starts with that first, as we know, and we'll have to deal with that later, Chukim statue, and Mishpatim rules, they apply in every mitzvah. That's powerful. In other words, even the mitzvah of a statue, even the mitzvah, which is irrational, even the mitzvah of a mishpat, which is rational, they also have a component where it's also a testimony. How do we get that from? Because the verse says specifically in reference to the Torah, Vayakum Eidos B'Yakov, that with all the mitzvahs, there's some a component of a testimony. So you see that Eidos, which is the first one, applies to an Eidos, but it also applies to Chukim Mishpatim. The same thing also in reference to statutes. That even the mitzvahs which are logical, which means a testimony or a mishpat, that's going on the general mitzvah, but not on the details of it. And basically, why this detail? Why not another detail? Because the answer is because every mitzvah has a component of chukah into it. It has a component which is beyond logic. And the same thing also with reference to the logical part, even the mitzvahs which are a testimony, and even the ones which are a statue above logic, they all have a component of logic into it. So in other words, before we go forward, what we're saying, every mitzvah has a component of Eidos, Chukim, Mishpatim. There's a primary part of the mitzvah, but every mitzvah has each component in it. What does that mean? He says like this. Because when it comes to revealing Hashem through doing a mitzvah, generally speaking, there's three revelations that take place by doing a mitzvah. What does that mean? On one hand, you have the light of Hashem, which gets enclosed in the world. Which, what do we call that in Kabbalah? Oir Hamamali. The light of God that comes into the world, that's more tangible and more we can relate to it. It's something which, so to speak, the light fits the vessel. So it's a light that we can connect to. So one type of mitzvah, what does that do? It brings a light into the world in a way that's mamali, we get it. Then you have a different type of light, which is higher than the world, but has a connection to the world. What is that referring to? Oyer HaSoiviv. And then you have what we call the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which has no connection to the world. So you have the Oyer HaMali, the part that comes in the world. Oyer HaSoiviv, the part that hovers over, but it's connected to the world. And then you have the essence of Hashem, which really has no connection to the world. Now, the light, Oyer HaMali, the light that fills in the world, that's something which we can comprehend. We get it. So therefore, how do we draw in that light? Anytime you do a mitzvah, which makes sense to you, you're bringing in, means your intellect comprehends it, you're bringing in Oyer HaMali. Every time we accomplish, do a mitzvah, it makes sense, I got it. What are you bringing into the world and into your life? Oyer HaMali. On the other hand, when it comes to the light of Soiviv, you can't comprehend it, or even say you don't comprehend it. In other words, because this is you're saying that you can't comprehend it. So what does that mean? You're basically nullifying the understanding of it. So how do you bring it in? You bring it in by not understanding it, by it's a rule, by it's a choik, it's a statue. In other words, you're basically saying this, even though I don't understand it, and I'm not gonna question myself, and when you do a mitzvah of chukim, you actually draw in oyer hasoiviv, which means it's a light that connected to the world, but it's above the world. And then you have the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which has no connection to the world. So you can't say you don't comprehend it. It has no connection with comprehension. Like he brings a powerful teaching where it says in Tanya that someone says, in reference to Hashem, that you can't comprehend it. So that's like a white person saying that you can't touch intellect. Anyone's going to laugh. What does intellect have to do with touching? You know, when you say you don't understand something, that means it has some kind of connection. So you can say you don't understand. You have a connection, but you're saying you don't understand it. But when you're dealing with intellect and feel and touch and feel, it's total two different things. And here we go a step further. He says he could possibly add, and the parable of intellect and feel and physically feeling something, since both of them, so to speak, are created by Hashem, they're both limited, there is a connection. Intellect is finite and feeling is finite. However, in the parable, in other words, you can say about Hashem that you can't comprehend it. Obviously, it's much deeper because we're finite and Hashem is infinite. So therefore, in order to bring in the essence of the infinite light, you can't use a choik, a statue, because chatzur means a statue, I just don't comprehend it. But there's some kind of connection you don't comprehend. But when it comes to the essence of the Hashem, you can say you don't comprehend it. So how do you bring in the essence of the infinite part of Hashem? That's because it's the will and the command of Hashem. Where does that apply to? That how do we bring in that component where it's basically the will of Hashem? Not stuff that's logic, that comes through Mishpatim. Beyond logic, cooking, that's Oyer HaSoiviv. When a person does an Eidus, one of the Eidus, like Pesach, Shabbos, etc. In other words, that all the mitzvahs, and even the mitzvah of chukim and shpatim also have eidus in it. Because by doing a mitzvah, again, you have certain mitzvahs are exclusively eidus, but even mishpatim, like we learned before, in chukim, there is an eidus component to it. By doing any mitzvah, you draw in the concealed part of the infinite part of Hashem, which is even higher than Soiviv. And how do we see that? Because just like, for example, what's an eidus? An eidus is like someone saying witness. So when do you say witness? If something's in front of you, do you have to create testimony that's there? It's there. You don't have to create testimony. Something that's revealed, you don't have to, what are you saying? Testimony. It's right there. And even something that's going to be revealed, you don't need a testimony because it's going to be revealed. So the same thing applies spiritually. That's the light that fills the world. That means it's revealed. We comprehend it. You don't need testimony. The Oyer HaSoiviv, which is higher than coming into the world, eventually it's going to be revealed. Because when we meditate on the fact that the light comes into the world, which is only a ray, so we understand there's something which is even higher. And that comes from Oyer HaSoiviv. But Eidos, what is Eidos? That's connected to where, the part that we don't see, and we don't It's not going to be revealed, and that's the Eidus is connected to the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which is even higher than Seiviv, which is totally concealed. That's where you need Eidus. That's where you need a testimony. And that's why all the mitzvahs have a component of Eidus, because through doing, again, certain mitzvahs work where it's just totally Eidus, and all the mitzvahs would have an Eidus component into it, we bring down the reveal the essence of the infinite light of Hashem. I'll say it in Hebrew, Atzmus Ein Sof, which is even higher than the idea of Seiviv. Now, to go now a step deeper, Rebbe says, into explaining the idea of Eidus, the power of Eidus, over a statue, more specifically. In other words, even though when it comes to a statue, something which is irrational, what are you drawing down? You're drawing down the will of Hashem, because it's not logic. It's a will which is above logic. So what does it mean that we're saying that Eidus is even deeper and stronger than a choik? Rabbi said, well, understand the base when he explains in the Hasidic discourse that chukim comes from the idea of chakika, something which is carved in. And from the continuation, the way he explains in the Maimer about what a choik is, he said there's two components to a choik. There's two components that a choik, a statue, has. On one hand, let's look at carving out on high. In other words, like, give the example, what's the difference between when you carve something out, let's say you have a piece of wood or a piece of paper, and you carve something out, versus you write something on it. So in other words, when you carve something out, you're not adding, let's say you're carving on a piece of paper, you're not adding on the paper, or you're carving something out on a piece of wood, you're not carving out, you're not adding anything to it, you're taking from where it exists. So he explains in the Chassidic discourse, that is the level of Keter, the highest sphere. In other words, what does that mean? This, that Keter, as we know, Keter is Makif, is like the letters of that you carve out, that it's not something, an addition to it, but it's actually revealing what it is. In other words, the revelation of Hamamali, which you're revealing a finite thing and not the essence. So that's something on top of the item. On the other hand, the revelation of the Seiviv, since it's infinite, it's part of the thing itself, and it's not an additional thing. So in other words, the first component of Chakika is when you carve something out versus you're writing. When you're writing, it's on top of it. You're carving out, it's from it. Just like, for example, Oyer HaMale, the light that comes in the world, this is the world, and the light that's on top of it. Oyer HaSoyvev is part of the world, just like Kesser is part of it. That's one component. Second component in carving out, that Chakika comes from to carve out. In other words, that by doing the carving out, when you carve something out of a piece of wood or a piece of paper, what are you doing? You're creating an empty space. And like the Medrash says, if not for my bond of day and night, the chukah, the carving out of heaven of earth, I wouldn't have placed. In other words, the fact that I made a bond, the heaven and the earth with the world, and he explains, what does that mean that I carved out the heaven and earth? That creating the acceptance, the bittul in the world by bringing down the idea of soivev, soivev which is chakika of a higher level. Now, so when you go ahead and you create chakika, so two things we're saying. One hand, it's not something an addition, but on the other hand, it's creating an empty space, and that creates the real bond. But when you come to carving out, what happens is there you create a change. Because the fact that before you had a plain piece of wood or a plain piece of paper, and now it's a change. It's not the same as before. Or like, for example, you carve out whether it's a piece of wood, a piece of stone, a piece of paper. But beforehand it was simple. And now all of a sudden there's empty space and you even see letters. And especially, I'm giving an example, if you take a stone that was shining, when you go ahead and you carve out, there's a change in the level of the shining part, because the fact is the part that you took out doesn't shine anymore. It's not there. The part was taken out doesn't shine anymore. Also, besides the fact that change that takes place in the stone by carving, and as why? Because the carving has to do with the place which is now empty. There's something which is missing. So the carving out is actually the opposite of the stone. Not only is it missing, but it's actually the opposite. The stone was stone, now you have an emptiness. Jesus says these two ideas also apply in the parable of what? The Oyer Soivet. Why? Because when there's a downgrade of the light, Oyer Soivet didn't start off Oyer Soivet, it was even higher. When it came and got downgraded, now it's Oyer Soivet. So you have the same change, just like you have a change in a stone that was carved out. That it's not anymore smooth, and from that space it doesn't give off light like before, and through that you have now room that you can create the world that comes from Eir Seviv. And as we know, the existence of the world, which world comes from concealment, is the opposite of revelation of light. Just like through carving out, there's something missing. So in other words, what do we see when it comes to a chukah? A statue, its spiritual significance, yes. What happens is creating an empty space, and actually something's missing. And the same thing applies to Eir Seviv. In order for Eir Seviv to become Eir Seviv, it had to go down a level, and there's something missing, and it's not as powerful as before. So the same thing is when it comes to statues of a mitzvah. This is something that's called a statue, means you carved it out, there's two components in it. In other words, what does that mean? What does it mean when Hashem says it's a statue? And like says in Chazal, I'm giving you a statue, I'm making a decree, and you can't ask any questions. It means there's two components over here. In other words, one is the will of Hashem as a statue. It's not the way it's in its source. It actually came down to a level where, so to speak, the intellect doesn't comprehend it. You're not allowed to comprehend it. Just like the change that took place in a stone, that when you cut something out, it's not there. The same thing, I want to understand the chukah, and I can't, it's not there. That's one component. And B, that the intellect, that the will, so to speak, it knocks it out, it's up to the point that the comprehension is opposite of the will. And therefore, that's what you have to say, I don't understand it. Even though you can ask questions, because there is room to ask questions. So you see that as great and as powerful as Chukim is, and it's huge, it's coming from our Savior, but there's still a component where there's something lacking. So based on this, we'll now understand the real power of Eidos, testimony in comparison to statues. Why is that? Because when it comes to a Chayk, like we just learned, the will of the mitzvah is, so to speak, in a downgraded level, where it comes to a point where intellect says, I don't understand it. When it comes to, on the other hand, aid is a testimony, it's the will of a mitzvah, the way it's in Hashem, and it didn't come to a place where it had to get X'd out and diminished and so on and so forth. So you see from here, when you understand the way chukim works, you realize how much more powerful aid is. Yeah. Just like on high, the difference between aidus, which basically we said in its source, it's coming straight from the will of Hashem and the essence of Hashem, and chukim already where it gets downgraded, and mishpatim is even lower because it's very male. In other words, that when it comes to a choik, which is oyer haseviv, and mishpatim, which is oyer male, has to do with a light which is connected to the world. However, when it comes to mishpatim, the rules, it's connected to the light which comes into the world, which is called oyer male. And when we're dealing with the chukim, which is, so you're dealing with the light which is above the world, or the saving. And when you're dealing with edus, the testimony, that's connected to the essence of the infinite part of Hashem. In Hebrew, it's called atzma sarin slave, which has no connection to the world. And the same thing now applies also in our spiritual service of Hashem. Because when it comes to chukim and mishpatim, that's to do with our intellect. But the difference is, when it comes to mishpatim, the meditation is, and the reason the mitzvah is, we understand, we do this mitzvah for this reason, for that reason, etc. And also the meditation that we have in it. And even when it comes to the mitzvah of chukim, we have some kind of meditation. However, the reason for the mitzvah is, Hashem, that's to Hashem, and we can't comprehend it. And when it comes to the meditation of chukim, what does that mean? That all the mitzvahs, even the mitzvah of mishpatim, we know it's the will of Hashem. What type of will? Above logic. And above the reasons of our comprehension. So that's in terms of chukim mishpatim. That means this is some kind of connection, whether we understand, we don't understand, or imal or soiv connected to us. However, when it comes to edus, it's already it's connected to the person himself. Like the verse says, atem you, the essence are my testimony. What does that mean? What does it mean, atem you? You yourself are my testimony. What is the testimony? Why is that? How can we get a testimony? Because since every single Jewish person, we all have a godly soul, and our soul is a part of God. And what is the source of our soul and the essence of Hashem? And even higher than the source of Torah and Mitzvot. So therefore, the essence of the Jewish person is testimony for the essence of Hashem. How does that get revealed? That gets revealed through the part of the mitzvahs which are edus, which are testimony. And therefore, there was, you can say that the main component of mitzvahs is which mitzvah? The civic edus mitzvah and the edus component of every mitzvah, which means drawing in the essence of the infinite part of Hashem. Now, when it comes to, on the other hand, chukim, which are statutes, and mishpatim, those components in every mitzvah, which is basically drawing in the light of the soiver and the soiver, or light of a male. Why is that? Because the ultimate intent of bringing down atzmas soiver and soiver, the essence of Hashem, which comes through the mitzvah, the goal is not that it should come down, it should come down and get revealed. And since the essence is hot, you can't reveal the essence, so therefore the way you reveal the essence, which comes down through Eidos, that comes through Eir HaSeviv and Eir HaMale, which is through the Chukim HaShpatim, in a revealed way. So what Rebbe is explaining so beautifully and powerfully, he's saying like as follows. The ultimate goal is to connect to Atmos Eir HaSeviv. How do you connect to Atmos Eir HaSeviv, the essence of Hashem? Through Eidos. Every mitzvah has the Eidos component. But when you connect, that's amazing. The goal is to reveal it. So how do you reveal it? So you reveal it through Eir HaSeviv, through the Chukim part of the mitzvah. And you reveal it to Eirah Mali through the Mishpatim part of the mitzvah. Now, so based on this, now we see beautifully that the order of the mitzvahs goes Eidos, connecting to the essence and part of Hashem, then Chukim Eirah Soivev, and then Mishpatim Eirah Mali. Because in the beginning you start with Eidos. You bring in the Atzmus, the essence of Hashem. Now you want to reveal it. So you reveal it through Eirah Soivev, which comes through the statue of the mitzvah, and then you want it to be internalized, you bring it through Eir Mali, which comes in through the mishpatim and mitzvahs. So based on this, Rebbe said, you can say that this is what he says in the beginning of the Chassidic discourse, that the wise son asked, Maha Eidos, and then Baha Chukim, and then Mishpatim. What's his question? Since ultimately all the mitzvahs, what are all the mitzvahs? It's commands from Hashem. It's all about Hashem's giving, it's connecting to the essence of Hashem. So why are we dividing it up in Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim? So this is also based on the explanation, like we explained in the Chassidic discourse, that the wise son is asking is, how do we draw down godliness through doing a mitzvah after Matan Torah? Because the main thing is action. What did we just learn? Wow, we're bringing in essence of Hashem. Eir HaSeviv, Eir HaMale. That's amazing, powerful spiritual stuff. But what does it do with the practical physical mitzvah? In other words, this, by doing a physical mitzvah, we bring down godliness. Obviously, we know that because that's the will of Hashem. But what he's asking is how that how through the physical part of the mitzvah can we draw in godliness. In other words, revealing godliness seemingly is a spiritual thing. You connect to the essence of Hashem or a slave or a mali. What does it do with eating a matzah? What does it do with putting on physical tefillin? And that's why he says, Ma Eidos Vachukim Mashpatim. And he doesn't say, what are the mitzvahs? In other words, because this, that through mitzvahs you bring down godliness, yes, because a mitzvah is the will of Hashem. It's the will of Hashem. It's the command of Hashem. But this, that we're dividing up mitzvahs into different categories, this is an Eidos. And this is a Chayk, and this is a Mishpat. Now you're talking about the revelation part. Because we know that in when it comes to Eidos, you're bringing it's coming down in a concealed way. You get connecting the essence of Hashem, but it's concealed. And in Chukim, you bring in a revealed way, but it's Makif, Eir HaMale. And Mishpatim, it's an internal way. So the wise son is asking, what's the whole idea of Eidos Chukim Mishpatim that God commanded you to do? In other words, the commandments that God commanded us to do after Matan Torah is physical. Which means drawing down godliness. So if that's the case, what's the connection with Eidos Chukim Mishpatim, which is all about, what's all about revealed stuff? So what do we answer? What do we answer the wise son? We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and God took us out of Egypt, and then we came to Matan Torah. And in Matan Torah, which was after the introduction of going into Egypt and coming out of Egypt, we received the power that through physical mitzvahs we can bring down these powerful things in a revealed way. Now, and also that the drawing down should be of the mitzvah should be in a revealed way. And that's why Hashem commanded us to do all the chukim, and it says liyira, that we should have all for Hashem. So what does yira have to do with it? And the Rebbe explains beautifully, he says like this, yira is in the same letters of re'iyah, to see. And this is, obviously he's quoting from the Chassidic discourse of the previous Rebbe, that the drawing down through doing a physical mitzvah, that God commanded us, it's all about it should be revealed, should be seen, and it should be revealed up until we literally can see it. Now, the main revelation of drawing down through doing a mitzvah, when is that going to happen? When are we going to see the effect of doing a physical? That's going to happen when Mashiach comes. Because then we're going to have vision on the highest level. Up to the point Yiro, which is, again, we said the same letters of seeing, we're literally going to see Hashem. We're going to see the essence of the infinite part of Hashem when Mashiach comes. And that's why it says God commanded us to do the statutes, and it only says statutes. Why doesn't it say Eidos Chukim Mishpatim? Because when a person does a mitzvah only because of logic, so what happens then is it stays concealed. But in order for it to become revealed, is so we do the mitzvahs, even the Eidos and the Mishpatim, we have to do because it's the command of Hashem and the Chukim, and that causes the mitzvahs to be revealed. Now, Shabbos says one second. After all this, we have to understand. Who calls the child a wise son? Torah says he's a wise son. So in other words, so he knows what gets accomplished in Matan Torah. He knows that Hashem gave us the power by Matan Torah, that by doing a mitzvah, a physical mitzvah, we bring in all the greatest revelations. So what's his question, Ma'edus? You know, we came to Matan Torah, Hashem gave us a gift by doing a physical mitzvah. We bring light into the world. So obviously you can explain this based on what's explained elsewhere, that this, that in the Torah, which we receive the Matan Torah, we have the whole history of the Ovis. Seemingly, that was only an introduction to us receiving the Torah. So seemingly the Torah should have started with Matan Torah. Boom, we're a nation today, God's giving us the Torah, and here it starts. Why do we have the whole history of the Ovis, the patriarchs? Because even now, after we receive the Torah, we have to still do the service just like the Ovis did it. What does that mean? In other words, this Hashem commanded us, b'chol yoyim, v'yoyim, every single day, the mitzvah should be kachadoshim, like new, and more importantly, every single day when we do mitzvah, should be a brand new mitzvah. It's not only in reference to the beauty and the specialness of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, but it's referring to also literally when you're learning Torah and you're doing the mitzvah, it has to be a brand new learning Torah right now and a brand new mitzvah right now. What does that mean, brand new? Because every single day you have to go to the next level. So if you learned something yesterday and you don't learn it today a step deeper, and when you do a mitzvah and you're not doing it with an extra level of excitement, where's the chachadashim? Where's it new? Because we know in Judaism you have to constantly climb the ladder. And not only climb the ladder one rung after the other, it has to be infinite climbing the ladder. Up to the point that learning Torah and doing mitzvahs that you did before should be like no way in comparison to where you're learning Torah and doing mitzvahs today. And that's why, because you can't compare to yesterday's learning Torah and yesterday doing mitzvahs, it's like brand new. Whoa, that's old stuff. There's new learning Torah, new learning mitzvahs, a whole different level. And that's why today, even after we receive the Torah, we have to do the spiritual work just like the Avos, the patriarchs did before Matan Torah. Why? Because Matan Torah is every single day. Every single day Hashem is giving us Torah. And it's like it says, Noisin HaTorah, Hashem is giving you the Torah right now. And every single day, it's a higher level. So therefore, every single day, because we're getting a brand new Torah, we have to learn Torah the way the Avos did it, which is a preparation for Matan Torah for this day. So I was saying something very beautiful and profound. He said like this. Once God gave us a Torah, why are we talking about the history of the Ovis? And Rebbe explains, because you have to have a brand new Torah. So therefore, and what was the introduction to receiving the Torah? Was the Ovis. The Ovis did it. So every single day, we're starting off like the Ovis before Matan Torah. Then we receive the Torah anew, and then we go to the next level. So based on this, Rebbe explains, now we can understand the question the wise person asked, Moha Edus, that God commanded Eschem, you, so to speak, after Matan Torah, because the learning Torah and doing mitzvahs of the wise son is every day is brand new. He's not learning Torah, the old Torah. He's learning new Torah. So therefore, he's always on a level of before Matan Torah. But since he always wants to get to a new level, if you're there, how can you get to a new level? So he's always saying, I'm still like with the others. I want to receive this Torah from new. And that's why he says, God commanded you, and you referring to not us, to hint to us and remind us that he's still holding on the level of before Matan Torah. Not in a negative way, in a positive way. I'm holding before Matan Torah because I still need to get to Matan Torah. I still need to go to the next level. I'm not finished. I'm not a finished product. I'm part in the journey. I'm a work in progress. What the Ben Chacham is saying is, Eschem, God gave you to Matan Torah. I'm still a work in progress. I'm still like the Ovis. I'm still trying to get to Matan Torah. I'm still trying to go to the next level. And he gets to the next level and he's back to, and he keeps on going back and reinventing himself. And Rebbe says he'd like to connect this idea with the question that the wise person asks. When does he ask the question? He asks it on the night of Pesach by the Seder. Even though the question of Ma'ida seemingly is referring to all the mitzvahs, why only by the Seder? And he explains beautifully, because what we just say, he's always trying to reinvent himself. He wants to be like the Ovis. He wants to be in the level that he's getting ready to receive the Torah. And we know that on Pesach, that's when the Jewish people are born. And that's why the holiday Pesach is specifically connected to the idea of what? Of kinnik education. Because when does education start? Education starts when you're born. And that's the question that's the connection of the question between the wise son together with Pesach. Because this is what he asks, what is the Eidos? Why is that? Because since he's going from one level to the next, so he's holding on a level before Matan Torah, and he has no connection to anything, just like a child when he's born, and he wants to go, my Eidos, hey, how do I go to the Eidos? How do I go connect to it? Because if you don't ask, what are the Eidos, that means you're there already. If you're there, how are you going to learn? How can you reinvent yourself? So even though he knows what the Eidos is, he knows the Chukim, that was yesterday's knowledge. But now he's going back and he's saying, what is the Eidos? I want to reinvent myself. I want to be new. I want to be a new child. And what do we tell this? What do we tell this wise son that wants to constantly reinvent himself? We tell him, yes, you were slaves to Pari in Egypt. And God took you out of Egypt with a strong hand. In other words, that even somebody that wants to reinvent themselves and they consider themselves on a level of a child as they were just born. And those includes two types of people. One is someone's literally a child. Or the second level is someone that's a wise son that he wants to be on that level so he can constantly grow. And more than that, even on someone that's on a level of, that he's still a slave to Pari in Egypt. That means he wasn't born yet. Hashem took him out. And what does that mean? He took him out with a strong hand. It means he gave a tremendous revelation. And literally Hashem himself revealed himself and redeemed us. Which, what does that mean when Hashem took us out? He took us out literally like from exponential levels, one level to the less, from the lowest level, we were slaves in Egypt, to the highest level, Hashem himself revealed himself. And Rebbe finished up, he says, same thing happened to us. And just like when the days we went out of Egypt, we saw tremendous miracles. We saw redemption, not just a regular redemption, off the charts, from one level to the next, literally from the darkness of exile, for the real dark of exile, and especially in the generation that we're in, of we're sitting on the heels of Mashiach, that the darkness is very, very strong. We come right away to the revelation where Hashem, of the Nigla Kvod Hashem, the honor of Hashem is going to be revealed. V'ro kol basar, literally the flesh is going to see. And what's going to happen is, v'hoysa l'Hashem hamlucha, that the kingdom will be to Hashem yudkei vavkei. And when is that going to happen? B'bias Mashiach tzidkeinu, when Mashiach comes, b'mheira b'yameinu mamash, it should happen very, very soon, very quickly in our days. So here's another very, very powerful, beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe, Ki Yishol Chabincha, where we have to remember, it's always, we have to remember that as great as we are, as much as we learned, as much as we prayed, as much as we do mitzvahs, we have to ask ourselves Ma Eidos, which means we have to put ourselves back and say, how can we reinvent ourselves and come to a whole new level of revelation? And the fact is, when we do that, Hashem takes us out and shows us the greatest levels, like the earth finishes off with the ultimate revelation of the coming of Mashiach. Let's hope and pray we do have the revelation of coming Mashiach. The next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.